Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our newest podcast endeavor. The show is To The T. We will break down the golf business, public golf, maybe a little bit of golf betting, pop culture, and much more. And when we break it down, we will break it down to the T. We will do so with a vast array, a plethora, a smorgasbord, if you will, of industry experts and professionals, including our expert panel of hosts, who we will get to in just a moment. Plus, what we all want at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when all the smoke is clear, we really just want to pop a cold beer, play the game we love with the people we love. We all want to get to the tee. I'm your host, Jordan Michael Colson.
I am joined by two of the most powerful juggernauts in our industry. Number 16 on Golf Inc. Magazine's Most Powerful Men in Golf, John Matthew Brown, CEO and President of Great Life Golf. And number 1,736th Most Powerful Man in Golf, Bryce Voisin of Golf Back fame. Gentlemen, welcome to our maiden voyage. We're very excited to be here. John, starting with you, how do you feel about this new endeavor?
What do you hope to accomplish with To The Tee?
I feel great. I mean, you finally got some half-decent equipment so we could shoot a half-decent podcast. So we figured we'd change the theme. But really what it was about is, you know, Golf Exposed was our foray into podcasting. It was really to expose some of the things in the industry that we just weren't happy with as golf course owners. We're going to talk about pop culture, golf business, professional golf, maybe do some golf gambling still, but just overall golf topics. And we're excited to have a real positive direction for this podcast and looking forward to it.
And Bryce, just in case some people value your opinion, how do you feel about the show?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be great. Hopefully we'll keep it entertaining and looking forward about talking about how excited we are about the golf business.
Dynamite drop in, Bryce. All right, so John, starting with you, and I know that you don't like talking about it, so once again, I feel like I have to kind of put you on the spot every year with your all-American wholesomeness and your humility and your humbleness. Once again, Golf Inc. magazine, great publication, has listed its top 25 most powerful people in golf, and once again, you are making the list. You continue to climb the ladder, this time at number 16. Now, if it was me, I would be throwing self-aggrandizing parades, lots of parties, a lot of press, maybe a whole tour junket, but you're a lot more humble than I am. So how did that make you feel when the new list was released in late 2023?
It continues to be an honor to be noticed, the work that we're doing both at Great Life and Golf Back. I mean, both companies are growing. Great Life, we've got 56 golf courses, and we've got two clubs that are coming on board here over the next 90 days. So that company continues to grow, and obviously a third of our clubs are owned, a third are long-term leases, a third are third-party management. So we've got, you know, a great company and great life. And then Golf Back, our technology brand, we're up to 109 clients now, and that continues to grow, and I think it grows with the right principles. And it's great to see the industry take notice to the work in those two companies and the achievements of what the employees have made happen.
Bryce, you've been part of this journey since almost the embryonic phases, both with Great Life Golf, formerly Brown Golf, and of course Golf Back. You're a major part in that. To see someone who you consider a friend, a work colleague, what did it feel to you to see John continue to climb the list? Because as John puts it, I mean, it is obviously a group effort, but we're also really proud of the guy. So how did that make you feel?
Yeah, you know, it makes me feel good. You know, behind closed doors, you know, he's a great mentor and a great leader. And to see him recognized like that was, you know, tremendous.
Fantastic. John, any aspirations for climbing, for coming for that number one spot? Ludacris once said it, and if Ludacris said it, I feel like you can kind of, you know, set your watch and live your life by it.
I have aspirations to grow Great Life and Golf Back. Wherever that leads us, I'm comfortable with. But those are, you know, the two focuses. I think we're going to continue to achieve great results in both, and I am really excited about the future of both.
John, I have a question for you.
Oh, curveball.
Curveball. Would you rather be number one on that list or get your handicap down to a one handicap? Which one would you pick?
Well, I've been teetering, practicing hard, floating between a 4.5 and 5.3 handicap for the last 10 years, which is up about 2 to 3 shots from, you know, when I played college golf. I think it's impossible to get down to a one, so I don't know. Man, I might have to take getting down to a one.
I think I like your chances to get down to a one.
So what's the dynamic life like when you walk into, you know, a high-powered business meeting or walk in at home where you're like, look, number 16's here, daddy's home, all right? Things are going to change around here. And when I crack this top 10, I'm going to be pretty difficult to deal with.
Are we talking about my family?
Yeah, we're talking about just
it's an inverse action that happens at my family. So I have more work to do, it's great. It's obviously an honor. And as far as from a business standpoint, it definitely helps. I mean, it opens some doors just in the sense that people do take a little bit more notice whenever, you have a business idea or you're trying to be collaborative. The executive meetings that we had, at this year's Multi-Course Operators Conference they put the 20 largest management companies in a room, all the CEOs. Those were great conversations, very collaborative. And you'll see that list littered with a bunch of those names. And I like the turn and the pivot in the industry at the upper ends of leadership and management companies in thinking a little bit more collaboratively about the space.
Awesome. Truly an honor to be part of a company with someone that makes that list, Golf Inc. They do a great job covering the industry. We're going to cover in some broad strokes, some news and notes from around the industry. And starting off, we're going to talk about the number one guy. When Tiger's in the news, Tiger gets the headlines. So Tiger Woods and Nike recently parting ways, guys. As long as I can remember golf as a casual observer, it was always Tiger Red on a Sunday. That's not Sunday, they're two different days. Sunday holds a lot more weight. Obviously, Nike's gonna go and be successful in their own right. Tiger Woods, still arguably the biggest name in the industry, if not the biggest. When you heard that news, did it send shockwaves to the industry? Was it just time to part ways and move on? John, what were your thoughts?
Probably a little reflection. 27 years with that brand is unbelievable. There is no doubt in my mind that for a 10-year window, Tiger was the greatest golfer that ever lived by a mile. And he's had such a huge impact. And obviously that Nike check on Tiger, they're somewhat synonymous with each other. So it'll be a little surprising the first time we see him without that Nike check. But I would say more reflection. I think it's just the nature of where business is. I mean, as things go along, things change, right? And this is one change. I think Nike's probably made a decision to focus, their resources in other areas. And obviously they're cutting a bunch of resources, which is in the news today. And Tiger is going to be what Tiger is, which is the biggest influence on golf moving forward.
And Bryce, I know typically you only wear Versace, Gucci, things like that. but were you able to put it in some perspective here? Being your age, you probably grew up with Tiger as one of your heroes, a guy that you looked up to. So how did it make you feel when you heard the news?
Yeah, absolutely. Tiger is the needle in the world of golf and professional golf. And when you think about Nike golf, you think of Tiger. I mean, there's nobody else. So it was surprising to me. I kind of compared it to, what if Michael Jordan had left Nike and the Jordan brand at the end of his career? I think Jordan makes something like $200 million a year right now off of royalties. Still the top from the sale of his shoes. And so, I was kind of trying to draw a parallel between like what would have happened if Jordan had left Nike and Jordan at the end of his career. But, I was a bit surprised. I thought, Nike and Tiger would be a lifelong thing. But as John said, things change, businesses change. And I think more than anything, this is just, it kind of shows that Nike is probably shifting their focus elsewhere and potentially not going to be around in the golf landscape forever.
Interesting perspective. So let's throw some hypothetical scenarios out here. Does Puma take a stab at it and disrupt the very foundation of the animal kingdom, perhaps? We got Puma, we got Tiger, we got a little bit of everything. We're playing in both fields. Does somebody make a package deal for Tiger and his son and try to group them together? John, your thoughts as a businessman only.
All the companies are calling Tiger's agent right now. And if Charlie was part of that package, because Tiger said he was, then absolutely, So they all want their marks, on his shirts, without a doubt. So it'll be very interesting to see who he picks. I'd be surprised if it was Puma. I think it's going to be probably one of the more traditional big brands. But I'm looking forward to see who he picks.
I think potentially too. I mean, we could see him introduce. Obviously, he had his own clothing line within Nike, but Jack Nicklaus and Greg Norman, they've had their own equipment or apparel brands in the past, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe venture out on his own. But I mean, we'll see. He obviously hasn't done that yet to date, and that doesn't seem to be kind of his MO. But if there's one person that can do it and probably make it successful just off of their name and image and likeness alone, it's probably Tiger Woods.
Bryce, we're going to start with you this time. I've heard in the news and on Google, I've heard of the Gulf rollback plan. Now, I'm familiar with the Walmart rollback plan, where they're rolling back prices every day at a remarkable clip. However, this is not quite the same thing. So could you explain to the layman like myself and those watching, what does the Gulf rollback plan actually entail? Are there any implications on PGA Live play and public play as well?
Yeah, so the USGA and the RNA are the governing bodies in golf, and they basically got together and they've decided that with technology and as time has gone on, the golf ball has become too hot, as one would say. It's going too far and it's spinning too much at just the right time. And basically that golf at the elite level, golf courses are becoming obsolete, and that these professional golfers are so good, they're tearing up the golf courses. A couple years ago, they came out and said that there could possibly be bifurcation in the game, which basically means that the pro golfers could play a different golf ball than amateur golfers. And there was obviously a lot of pushback in that. I think what makes golf unique is that whether you're, 60-year-old that is a 12 handicap and played golf all their life, or if you're a professional golfer, you have the opportunity to play the same golf ball, play the same equipment. And that is something that is extremely unique about golf. And so they got a lot of pushback, and now they've come to the point where they've decided there won't be bifurcation, and they're basically going to roll the golf ball back for everybody. Which is interesting because, as a golfer myself, I realize how hard this game is, and I'm not sure that making the game harder for amateur golfers is the right direction for the game as a whole. Do I think that rolling the ball back for professional golfers could, help protect those kind of old golf courses that maybe aren't as long and don't have as much, challenge in them? Sure. But in my opinion, the governing bodies are choosing to look at it through the landscape of just the professional golfer, and maybe not necessarily the game as a whole and what can make the game easier for the average golfer.
I've kind of come full circle on this. That was my initial response, I would say. As I've thought about it more, as a golf course owner, right, if the ball's rolled back and you don't need 7,200-yard golf courses, you can exist with 6,700-yard golf courses, that's probably overall positive for the golf course owners. Second, does it bring an element of shot making back to the game that maybe has gotten a little bit eroded with the ability to, get the golf ball moving at 180 miles per hour, right off the club head? I think it probably does. For my own personal game, yeah, it's a little bit of I don't want to hit my driver 15 yards shorter. But I'm wondering if it's one of those things, like when businesses rolled out credit card fees and we were all angry about it initially, but now it's part of how most businesses operate. If once the golf balls roll back, does it bring another element of shot making into the game, which maybe gives the game some more texture again?
Yeah.
And ultimately, it doesn't erode the fabric of what the game really is, which it's about being outside, doing something athletic, doing something with friends, maybe having a drink and relaxing, maybe having some competition. So it doesn't erode sort of the core foundation of the game at all, in my opinion. It's going to be a big adjustment, but I think it'll be a relatively short adjustment. And I think about 6 months into it, we're all going to kind of fold right back into why we really love the game. So I'm trying to be optimistic. That's what I'm trying to do.
It was probably 10 years ago now. I can remember when they came out and they said that they came out with rules on the grooves of the clubs, basically making it so that wedges wouldn't spin so much. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you had only certain wedges were conforming for tournament play as far as the USGA was concerned. And at the time, as a competitive amateur golfer, I had concerns, why would they do this? Doesn't make any sense. But just as John said, maybe 6 months later, nobody even thought of it. And manufacturers just started making wedges that conformed with the new rules. So, yeah, I think that could be a reality.
Now, I can't imagine how the companies that are making golf balls feel. They've been making golf balls with a certain focus for how long, like Titleist being one of the leaders, obviously, in the industry, like how do they feel about having to change sort of their model, and where does that, what does that mean for their market share? I mean, there's a lot of dynamics to that.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, and if you're building a golf ball for Titleist, right, you're trying to use the best technology and build the best possible golf ball you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Titleist, maybe some of your maybe some of your advantage is being taken away in this new world. And I don't know how I would feel if I were them.
I wonder where TaylorMade and Callaway and Strixon and these other companies, do they look at this as a potential opportunity, or is it, it's obviously, it's a huge amount of work for all of them to adapt to this potential time threshold, right? But I wonder if they look at that as an opportunity, or if all of them collectively are like, this is going to be a process.
Yeah,
probably that.
yeah, and you could even think if you're Strixon or Callaway or whoever, right? You've been chasing, I guess, Titleist for all this time to try to make a golf ball as good as theirs, and you've obviously put a lot of resources into doing so. So, and in my opinion, those golf balls today are just they're all about the same, in my opinion. So, maybe you look at it as maybe the last 5 to 10 years is a waste of resources.
What he means is he dumps his pitching wedge into the front bunker with every golf ball.
That's right.
From 130 yards, yeah, right? Yeah.
Moving on now to the main course, and what I'm very excited for is the PGA Show 2024. Gentlemen, this will be my first foray into a trade show as part of the actual industry. I was able to walk through part of the PGA Show last year. A little bit of an overwhelming experience if you are walking in for the first time. A wonderful atmosphere of some like-minded individuals and some juggernauts and some innovators in the industry. So now, as someone who will be working the floor and schmoozing and hobnobbing with the bigwigs, what can I expect as I walk into the PGA Show in 2024? And what do we have on the docket personally for Great Life Golf Back and the newly formed One Putt Media, John?
Yeah, One Putt Media is why you're going to be there, Jordan. So One Putt Media is the arm of Golf Back that really develops digital content, video content. And then we build marketing pass, automated marketing pass for golf courses. And Jordan will be there on the floor at the Golf Bag booth, which will be really exciting. So you can expect your feet to hurt at the end of the day. You can expect to meet a lot of great people. And I think you're really going to enjoy being there as an exhibitor this year. So looking forward to it. For me, I don't know what number show this is that I've been to, but I've gone to a ton over the years. And it's just an opportunity to network, to build some excitement about the upcoming year. Obviously, to really get you teed up for the following year, and I really enjoy it. I feel a bit gluttonous by the end of the week. What about you, Bryce? How do you feel by the end of the week?
Yeah, it's tiring for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's great. There's a lot of energy. It's really kind of our Super Bowl in the golf business, in the golf industry. I expect a lot of excitement this year. You know, there for a couple of years coming out of COVID, it was a little slower than usual, but I think last year it was pretty much at full strength, and I expect the same this year. So
I think we're going to be back to the attendance that we're all used to traditionally seeing. Obviously, there's a lot of tailwinds for the golf industry. I am speaking on the Thursday at 9:45 in the morning over in the convention center. We have a very exciting topic. Big Data, the Keys to Unlocking a Club's True Revenue Potential. So stop by and see that. I know that's a co-sanctioned educational event between the Golf Business Show and the PGA Show. So educational credits will be available for PGA members, and just really exciting week.
Yeah, and Golf Back has a booth as well. So feel free to stop by the Golf Back booth. We are introducing a new suite of tools we're very excited about, in addition to One Putt Media. So looking forward to it.
Now, Bryce, informing the One Putt Media content, you got to hang out with me in Palm Beach and live in the fast lane for a couple days. I think combined we had 3 drinks total. Yeah,
so yeah, we really love it.
They call us the bad boys of Palm Beach now.
What you gonna do?
So, no, that was very exciting, and I can't wait to be there and be part of the action and see what it's all about. So, yeah, and by the way, Palm Beach Par 3, beautiful course. Shout out to Tony and everybody there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jordan. Awesome place. Be sure to say hi to Tony if you go, but highly recommend Palm Beach Par 3.
Yeah.
Jordan, bridging the gap to One Putt Media a little bit, from a standpoint of our focus at Great Life, talk a little bit about some of the stats you saw with some of the video content, which when we develop this content, we develop it, you know, for, we have longer content, we have micro content, but it's really to generate interest, right? And to generate attention. And just talk about some of the stats you've been able to achieve.
This is obviously a long form piece of content that you're consuming here, which will ultimately be chopped up into micro clips. Assuming Bryce says something interesting, there's always a possibility. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. So then we take a long form piece of content. This is done with the YouTube videos as well. And then, you know, you take the best 15, 30 seconds out and you chop it up and add a bunch of graphics, and then you have your micro content. So you need to be able to play in both fields. This is something we're going to talk about at the 1 Point Media booth, and every course should be doing this, letting the people who patronize their clubs, letting the people who are the heart and soul of their clubs, their staff, their food and beverage team, their head professional, their instructors, letting them tell the story. We're here to shine a light on that, to record them, to sort of guide and direct them into how to do it in a concise fashion. And some of the stats, John, that you talked about are pretty remarkable. It's our inaugural year, so I was going to be happy if the YouTube channel broke 100,000 views. It's well over 100,000 views. The Great Life Golf YouTube channel houses all of the YouTube content for all the clubs that we manage or have third-party leases with. And then, of course, that has trickled out as well to Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever other social media platforms people have. I still don't fully understand TikTok yet. Maybe next year we add that on, but I'm also not 17 and I'm not dancing a lot, so it's not a big deal. I feel like every course needs some way to communicate with the public golfer, with people who have patronized, with people who are traveling, especially our destination courses. And the best way to do that is right here. Everybody's on it, from your grandmother to, you know, teenagers. And I feel like we found a good medium to do that. So, you know, if you'd like to give us an opportunity to do it with your club and collaborate with you on that, that's what 1 Putt Media is all about.
Check the content out. There's some great content. We do playing holes with the head golf professional at a club. We have testimonials. We just have fun games. It's really interactive, and I'm really excited about our path marketing moving forward in Great Life.
And in 2023, we were able to garner, I'm pretty proud of it, over 250,000 views. And, you know, it was 1 year, and we tweak it as we go and refine the process as we do with everything. So definitely plan to usurp that number this year coming up, but I think we're on the right track. And that's all a testament to the clubs that we work with and their team.
Yep.
What does Great Life Golf have as far as announcements, maybe some new additions coming up down the line in 2024?
Yeah, so Great Life Golf, we're adding two facilities right now. They're in the works.
Country Club today, actually.
Today, yeah.
We're settling on one today.
Yep. Yeah, purchasing Sapona in North Carolina, and then Country Club of Mount Dora is coming up just outside of Orlando, Florida. So yeah, super, super exciting news, and looking forward to that.
Yeah, continuing to build the company. It's always exciting when you're buying assets, for sure, and Sapona obviously is coming on today. Country Club of Mount Dora will probably be around March 1, and we'll continue to look for those clubs that really fit what we do well at Great Life in one of our brands.
Gentlemen, as we move into 2024, do we as a company, do we believe that we have our finger on the pulse of what casual or public players really want out of their local course, or what they want out of a round? One of the things that I'm noticing in about a year now of going to these public courses, and obviously it depends on the demographic, it depends on where we are in the country and a lot of other things. But one thing that I never thought I would see, I'm seeing a lot more people with a relaxed wardrobe. I'm seeing more MP3 players of people, you know, MP3, is that even a thing that exists anymore? I'm talking about Bluetooth. What am I saying? Where are we? Bluetooth players attached to there. And then now some of the places like a Palm Beach are getting really savvy. They're branding those players, selling them. Some people have them attached to the cart. Obviously, there's some casual drinking going on, which has always been part of the game. I feel like it's becoming more widely accepted to sort of casualize the game, at least for like a younger demographic. So do we have our finger on the pulse of what people really want from a public round, and what kind of direction is it moving in?
Well, the green grass golf market, the 26 million, that average age is about 46. The off-course golf market, that average age is about 32. So we're going to have to figure it out. And a great example of this is, you know, my conversations with my wife, Lauren. So I feel like our golf courses are very comfortable golf courses to go and play golf at, that we focus on that experience. Well, I'm 41 years old. My wife and I have been together since we were 16 years old. She's been around me and the game of golf for 25 years. And we had this conversation 2 weeks ago about how she still intimidated walking into golf courses that she's part owner in, you know? Wow. And she's uncomfortable. And I'm like, all right, she's been around this game for 25 years, right? She's even to the point now where she's starting to own some golf courses, and she's uncomfortable walking into her golf shop. So I would say we're not even close, because it was pretty eye-opening. And, you know, for her to say that and kind of be really honest about it. And the reason she was so honest is because I said, let's go down, let's look at our course in North Carolina. There's some lots on one of the holes that we're trying to figure out what to do with. I'd like to get your perspective. And she kind of like opened up about sort of her feelings around golf and why she's still tentative to live by a golf course potentially once our kids are older. And I'm like, if she feels like that, what percentage of the public feels like that? So it was eye-opening, and I would say we are still navigating how to do that the right way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the game has come, I would say, a decent way as far as making the game more welcoming, introducing things like music on the golf course and maybe a more relaxed wardrobe. You know, one thing that we do with our golfers is we survey them and they're after their round. We send them an automation that invites them to leave a survey, and we ask them certain questions about their experience. And the one thing that, you know, comes back to us the most is it's not really, you know, conditioning. Our core golfer is most interested in conditioning. They want good conditions when they play golf. You know, I think if we can provide good conditions, a good experience, and somehow also provide that more relaxed atmosphere, making the game, their experience more fun, I think that's the ultimate combination moving forward.
But the question is, how do we do that, right? The traditional golf shop still generally looks like the traditional golf shop, and is that the right welcoming point? And, you know, how do we get them on the golf course with a ranger that maybe has a little bit different interaction? And so it's still there while still maintaining pace of play, still maintaining the important parts of golf. It needs continued thought,
for sure.
Bryce, we'll start with you. Would you rather always play golf drunk for the rest of your life or never be allowed to drink on a golf course again?
Oh, that's a tough one. Golf course beer is easily a top five beer.
Totally.
Would I be able to have a beer after my round?
Yeah, but none, but not on, not in the cart, not overlooking, you know, feeling good about your shot, none of that. You don't get that feeling anymore. Or you're John Daly. It's one of the two.
I think I'm going to go, I like the after round beer too. So, I think I'm going to go with the latter. I would rather not have to play drunk every round, but still able to have a beer after my round.
So you're still trying to play well.
I don't know if I would say I'm trying to play well.
Yeah. All right.
John, as CEO, can you answer that one?
I'm probably 50-50 right now whether I have a beer while playing or not while playing. It's really tough because of the company. You know, there's certain company, you know, if you're on a guy's golf trip, you know, you're going to want that beer on the golf course.
Sure.
And a canned beer on the golf course tastes great. But when you say drunk, I don't necessarily want to play drunk either.
Right.
You know, just like a couple beers. So I'd probably lean towards no, as long as there was mandatory after round beers available. Maybe not mandatory, but.
Yeah, right.
In a nice frosty mug. But now, if you said just a couple of beers, you got rid of the word drunk, I'd probably go back to, I'll have a couple of beers.
I agree with that.
But there's no fence straddling on these would you rather questions, guys. So we like definitive answers. All right, John, back to you then, Bryce. Would you rather have John Daly's physique or Jay Monahan's sense of integrity?
I don't.
Hold on, number 1700. You got to answer the first one first.
Okay, sorry.
This is for number 16.
I would rather have Jay's net worth.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. So if that comes with his sense of integrity, I guess I'll go that way. John's made a lot of mistakes in his life. I don't think I want to step into that physique or that history of, you know, what he did to himself to get that physique.
Bryce, your turn. And you have like a couple stories with pretty much every human being ever, but you've had an up close experience with John Daly. You were telling me in Florida there.
I have, yes. I have been in a Hooters with John Daly.
Of course.
And it is exactly as advertised.
In the Hooters or in the parking lot of the Hooters?
In the Hooters.
Oh,
in the Hooters.
Okay.
he is exactly as advertised. There is no faking it. He is a fun guy to be around, and he has a very good time. But to answer your question, Jordan, I would probably go with Jay Monahan's integrity.
Okay.
Just as John said, John Daly's integrity, you know, he's had a couple, we'll call it speed bumps in his career is off the golf course. So,
but you would have two majors then.
I would, and it seems like he has a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods returned to action recently, despite the Nike and everything, and he's looking pretty jacked. He's looking pretty good. But starting today, not the lineage, not the history, not the majors, would you rather have Tiger Woods or Joel Dahlman's career moving forward from this point today? Bryce?
Yeah, good question, Jordan.
Is it? Of all I asked, that's the one you give me credit for?
I think that's a tough one, too. Okay. I think I would rather have... This is no knock on Joel Dahlman. I love that guy. I think he's great. He was my favorite character on Full Swing. But I'm going to go with Tiger Woods just because I've doubted Tiger before, and I promise I'd never do it again. So that's who I'm going with.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger's going to have more opportunities in the big events, right? He's going to play in the majors he wants to, and obviously the Masters for the rest of his life. But if you go pure stats,
yes, that's
statistical,
what
I think Joel probably has a little bit better performance today forward, just because he's, you know, maybe not the exact prime, but closest to his prime of his career, and he's a PGA Tour player. And I think Tiger is, you know, I think Tiger's the best, but not
John, more. I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I'm going to preface this with I'm not sure I know the exact answer, but where would you say Joel Dahlman is on the money list 2023, PGA Tour money list?
Let's see. I think he made the top 125. I sure hope so. I'm going to go 112.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say somewhere around, between 80 and 100.
Okay.
Jordan can fact check us here and see where he's at. But, we're not talking about Xander Schauffele here.
Now that we've kind of let this conversation marinate, I feel ridiculous for saying that Joel is going to play better than Tiger. I'm switching. Sorry, Tiger. Tiger's
going to do better than Joel. Tiger, if you're listening, and I'm pretty sure you are, John Brown apologizes. Okay, according to the first Google result that you find, which you should always take as the gospel truth and never do any further research, Joel Dahlman was ranked 88th in the 2022-2023 money list standings with $1,996,174 in 31 events. So right around $2 million just in tournament earnings. I'm sure there's sponsorships and a whole bunch of
stuff.
Which
means he's one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, you know? Neither one is a bad option. Come on now. All right, gentlemen, this is the final segment. It's called The Lip Out. This is your chance to leave us with any takeaway that you want. Bryce, we'll start with you. Anything that you think about the industry, anything you want to say, doesn't even have to be golf-related. If you just want to wish everyone a happy 2024, you're welcome to do that. This is your time. You have 30 seconds. If you have nothing to say, that's okay, too.
You're like a presidential candidate.
Yeah. Just talking circles.
I got two things. Number one, we didn't talk much about Kapalua last week. I don't know if you guys watched it. Unbelievable setting there in Maui, and obviously Maui had a tough year last year with the fires, so was nice to see a successful tournament in Kapalua. Always enjoy watching that on TV. And then second, yeah, just happy new year to everybody in 2024.
Podcast moving forward, and it's all about excitement around the golf space, the golf industry. We want to hear your feedback. We're going to give you some golf business. We're going to give you some fun topics. Hopefully you enjoyed. Our goal is to be collaborative and make the industry better. So we look forward to great interaction and hopefully enjoy the first inaugural podcast.